you will bow your heads. Dear God, we come to you now. And dear God, we're thankful for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. And today we just want to concentrate on your love, your steadiness, dear Lord. And dear God, we just are thankful that there's something in this world that is constant. And we know that your love and your forgiveness and grace and mercy, your promises are constant, dear Lord. Just allow us to hear your message today. Open our hearts up so that we can ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness and accept mercy and grace and live it and just build us up. Let us be people who edify each other, encourage each other. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to go back to our sermon series that we've been dealing with and living a balanced life. I think that's something that all of us would like to do and like to get a hold of, and the things in our life would balance out. We've hit several topics that bring our lives out of balance, things that we struggle with. And today is a subject, constancy. And this is going to be a tough subject. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. My dad, for instance, he tells bad jokes. Once he gets going, it's hard to rein him in. Okay. But I will say this, and I have not lived up to this, unfortunately. This is not something that I was able to mirror or to replicate with him, but it didn't matter what kind of day he had or how frustrated he was or what was going on in his life. When he came into the house, he was the same guy every night. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. When I woke up in the morning, I didn't have to wonder what kind of mood he was in when I was pulling up to the house or when he was pulling up to the house. I never had to worry about his mood or if he was going to come in and explode. Now, he did explode. I'm not going to lie. We had a lot of what we call meet Jesus meetings, okay? And I deserved them. All right, I'm not going to lie to you. I deserved a whole bunch more that he never understood. In fact, you got to be careful as adults telling stories to your parents, because sometimes you'll out yourself on lies you told 20 years before. When they said, "Well, I thought you told me you didn't have a party here that night." I'm like, I think it was Kelly. It was at Kelly's party. Okay. So, but I'm very thankful for that. I have not been able to replicate that. And let me just say, in this world that we live in, is unfortunately, it's a new cycle world, and the story is only as hot until a newer, hotter story comes out. All right, and things are just constantly changing. And how many times? And you don't have to raise your hand. How many times in this world are we told something, and then the next day it changes? For instance, they tell you gravy is good for you. I don't know if they've ever said that or not, okay? But they say, drink coffee, it'll help you out. And then later that day you say, if you drink 2 cups of coffee a day, oh my gosh, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And there's so much going on here, and people change, and it's just... This is the doctrine of constancy, and this is a biblical, concrete, foundational doctrine. This is one that we build on. This is one that we celebrate. Okay, this is a doctrine. This is a biblical principle of utmost importance. And let me just say it as plainly as I can say it to y'all, is that if you want to bring balance into your lives, if you want to bring a environment into your homes to where people grow and relationships get stronger, This is a principle that you need to stand on, because this is an underlying character trait of the God that we serve and that we praise. Okay? So, probably every week I could tell you that this is the most important sermon you ever hear. I'm not going to say that this week, because probably last week was the most important sermon you ever heard. Okay? But this sermon is of utmost importance. And when you start talking about bringing balance to your life, this is a subject that can lay down a foundation that will survive the earthquakes, survive the tremors, the aftershocks. Here's the deal. How many times have you survived an earthquake only to fall victim to an aftershock because you gave up or you relaxed, right? Okay, or you thought it was over, or you thought you got past that thing. I always tell people, if you think you have forgiven somebody, wait till you have a bad day. And then what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Well, I'd like to find that guy that I forgave. Show him how much I forgave him, right? Okay, so that's human nature. And what this doctrine is this is one to build upon. So let me just restate it real quick. If you want relationships to go to another level, to get stronger, you want more balance brought into your life, this is a biblical principle that has to be applied, because it is one of the character traits that we rely on so much for God. All right? So let's look at it. What is constancy? What's the definition of it? Well, this is a quality of being unchanging or unwavering, as in a purpose, as in love. It is a firmness of mind. It is faithfulness. Okay, so you're talking about a rock steady quality, right? We talk about, there is the parable of the two builders. There was a builder who built his house upon what he thought was solid rock, but it was sedentary, you know, gathering. And then there was he who built his house upon the rock. And when the storms came, the guy who built on the solid foundation survived, and the other one's house washed away. All right? So this is a quality of being unchanging and unwavering. All right? So let's roll on. It is also the quality of being enduring and unchanging, free from variation. Okay, free from variation, because I need you to hit that is straight out of the Bible, because the Bible tells us that God loves us with no variations. He doesn't show more love to others. He loves us equally across the board, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for all. Okay? So there is no variation. You won't catch him in a different mood. He is unwavering. And constancy is an indication that a persistent effort is being made against a pressing trouble. All right? So here is where we take the doctrine of constancy, and then we add the layer of application for us. So, what you're going to find out is that the doctrine of constancy is one of the greatest things we could ever discover about God. And then what we need to understand is that in our lives, just as we reflect, as I talked to Weston before he got baptized, and I was explaining to him what we're doing, it is the outward expression of the inward change, you know, and all, you know, and that he was, when we're buried with Christ, then we are resurrected with Christ. And if we are resurrected in Christ, we should reflect in our lives and in our living a resurrected Christ. Amen? Because we can't go around saying that we are the image, we are the kindred of Jesus Christ, and live opposite of his teachings. Correct? Or am I wrong? Okay, all right. Just make sure we're on a solid footing. So we have this doctrine and this understanding of the character of who God is. And then now we have to understand that, and it tells us right there, that we're persistent effort, that we have to show this in our living. Okay? So there is two parts to this. The first part is understanding what that doctrine is. And then the other part is being able to take that understanding and then put it into our everyday life so that we can reflect the character traits of Jesus Christ. We good? So in the Bible, in Hebrews, there's a couple of times where this word is used. Hopomene. Okay, this is used in Hebrews twice, and it is more than just the understanding of being consistent. Okay, more than just being someone, you know, who never quits. But this is a quality of your character that does not allow you to surrender. So there is no surrender in your life. So sometimes when we talk about, how many know who Harry Houdini was, right? A great escape artist. How many times in your life have you entered into a situation, into an agreement, all right? But instead of going into it all in, you go into it pretty much, but you got the escape plan already planned. If this goes south, this is how I'm going to get out. And in some of these relationships, in some of these situations, we can't go into these situations with an escape route already planned. Because with that being said and with that being known, there's always the instinct, there's always the ability to say, if this goes south in any kind of way, I'm out. And that cuts down on the faith, that cuts down on the determination, that cuts down on the constancy in our lives and in our relationships. Am I making sense? No? If not, we'll just keep rolling on then, all right? But hypomene is the word used. There is no surrender, okay? And then here is a term that has been put on to God to describe him. Immutability. And that is the state or the condition of being unchangeable. There's nothing that can ever happen that can change the character of God. All right? So now let's decipher and differentiate the idea of constancy and stubbornness. Okay? Because I'll just tell you, sometimes when I am presented with my faults, I do the old switcheroo. You ever done the old switcheroo? Where Ariane tells me why what I'm doing is wrong, and then when she gets done telling me that, I spend the next half hour explaining to her why it's actually a good thing, why I never do any of the stuff she asked me to do. All right? It was like the other day when she said, we're going to go to Walmart. And I said, I am not going to Walmart. I will never go back to Walmart. You can't make me go back to Walmart. And then while we were in Walmart, we had this discussion. You understand? Okay? All right. So this is constancy, just so you understand, is that this is a quality that is unchanging in your faithfulness, in your trust, even at your worst times, during your trials and tribulations. Stubbornness. What is stubbornness? Well, this is a character trait or an attitude that we take that allows us to be inflexible or unchanging. Now, here is the difference. Not through love, not through faithfulness, but through pride. I'm not going to admit I'm wrong. Anybody here have trouble admitting they're wrong? Nobody. Good. One, my Uncle Dave, honest man right there. God bless you, right? Okay. But we have trouble sometimes admitting that we're wrong. And if you're stubborn, That's like moving the earth, trying to get someone who's stubborn to admit they're wrong. And then also there's this idea, I don't know if you've ever met anyone like this, but their ideas are better than yours. You ever met anybody like that? You ever changed that person's mind? Absolutely not. Okay? Here's it. And then here is the bottom line. You know, I took a logic class one time. They said, don't ever say, here's the bottom line. I evidently got a C in that class, all right? But here's the bottom line. With stubbornness, there's never humility. It's always from pride. There's no obedience because I'm right. Okay? You should be obedient to me, subservient to me because I'm smarter than you. I got better eyes and ideas than you, and I'm right. And there is absolutely no submission. And you know, as well as I know, in this life, if we're going to live a life reflective of the character of Jesus Christ, man, one of the most ultimate character traits of Jesus Christ is that he was always submissive to the will of God the Father. No variation in that. He had a constancy in his submission to God the Father. You understand what we're saying here? Okay. So let's look at the doctrine of constancy. Where is it found in the Bible? It's in Hebrews 13. And praise the Lord for this verse and the truth in this verse. But it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Do not be carried about in this world by various and strange doctrines. Build on the promises, on the fundamentals, on the principles found in the Bible. Because unlike everything else in this world, he doesn't change. You're not going to go back and the words be different than they were the time before. Now, with that being said, the Bible is a living object. The living Word of God, correct? So sometimes when you go into it, you will read the very same words, the same principles, but they may hit you with different impacts at different times in your life. Okay? But the Word of God is infallible, and it never changes. And thank the good Lord that He is the same every single time. The contract terms don't change. Weston, how old are you, buddy? 9 years old. When he's 99 years old, the very same commitment that he made to Jesus Christ has the same contract, the same understanding with him at 99 that he did today when he's 9 years old. There's no variation. There's no change. We stand upon the unchangeable Word of God and Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's the other thing for you to understand, is that the Jesus Christ that walked on water, the Jesus Christ that fed the 5,000, the Jesus Christ that brought Lazarus back from the dead, that Jesus Christ is the same Jesus Christ that we are worshiping today. It's the same Jesus Christ. All right? So, Malachi, this is Hebrews' New Testament. You say, well, is this an Old Testament idea? Absolutely. Malachi says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. So there is the idea, is that this is what you can stand upon and build upon. It's unchanging, and it won't lead you astray. It won't take you down a path of destruction. God is always there for us. He's always correct. He is unchanging. He is a God of constancy. And also, He is the ever-present God. When Moses says, who shall I say to the most powerful human being on earth? When he asked me, who sent you to demand I let servants and slaves go free? Who do I tell him sent me? And God says, the great I am. ever-present, never-changing. And now what we can build on is that God's Word, we hit this a little bit, God's Word never changes. Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. It's settled. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the Word of God by no means will ever pass away. Amen? That means that there's not anything on this earth that can ever affect God, His promises, and His Word. Nothing can ever affect that. We can stand on the promises and the fundamentals in the Bible because God's Word never changes. It is built on the doctrine of constancy. And that is what we need to understand now, is that we take that idea that we understand that the Bible never changes, the principles, the foundations found in the Bible never changes. So what we need to do is to take that and then have that be reflective in our everyday lives, the way that we interact with our friends, our coworkers, our spouses, our family, and what the understanding is that people can be with us, they can trust us, because we are going to reflect a constancy. And here's the other thing. Children can grow up in a very healthy environment because the rules don't change from day to day. Okay? The understanding is this is what we're teaching. This is not going to change. But the idea and the understanding has to be that if you're going to actually teach the principles and fundamentals found in the Bible, where's the catch in that process? You all have to know what the principles and fundamentals are in the Bible. So you have to become Bible students. And you have to become people who know and understand what's written in the Bible. And we have to teach what is written in the Bible. We have to understand that every instinct, every minute in this is an opportunity to teach. All right? The promises found in God's Word are unchanging. Romans says, "For I am persuaded that neither life, death, angels, principalities, powers, present, things to come, height, depth, anything created can ever separate us from the love of God." His love is built on the doctrine of constancy. Okay? That means that there are no conditions. That's what unconditional love of God means. There's not anything that we can do to ever make Him not love us. And that should be reflective in our homes. Now, are there times when I come home on Thursday from work and I realize that Jake has not taken the garbage down on garbage day? And everybody else and our neighbors have empty garbage cans, and mine are jacked full up around the house. Yeah, I get frustrated. But I can't come in and say, "You're off. I've written you off. You got to leave." Did you ever know I ran away from home? Did you ever know that? It's when we lived on Illinois Avenue, that yellow house there. I can't remember what happened. My parents are being unfair to me, I'm sure, showing favoritism towards Kelly in some sort of manner. Okay, but I decided to run away. So I got my sleeping bag, a pillow, and an alarm clock. And I did. Went out, and on the side of the yard between us and the fry house, I set that up and laid down. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I guess I was going to bed. And I never forget, my dad came out. And he walked up to me and said, "What's going on here?" I said, I ran away from home. And he said, "Well, I hate to hear that." He goes, "We're dealing with that situation here too." He goes, "I had a son that ran away from home. I don't know what happened to him." And I was looking at him. He's like, "I miss that kid. I wish he'd come back and be with us." I was gone like 5 minutes. And I was looking at him. I started crying. He said, come here. I'm just messing with you, you know, making the point, you know, don't ever run away. But here's the deal. He, you know, you can't let your love be affected by things. And God never does not love us. He always loves us. When we mess up, he still loves us. Does he condone what we do? No. All right? But he still loves us. And our homes should be a place of teaching, should be a place of, you know, chastising, rules. You know, listen, you can't have freedom without rules. Okay? Today's people think freedom is I get to do anything I want to do. That's not what freedom is. That's called chaos. Freedom, liberty, is built on underlying understandings and rules. You can't have freedom without rules. It doesn't exist. Okay? You slide into chaos. All right? So, but we have promises given to us. And it is promises from an unchanging God. And God will never change the contract, the terms of his conditions and of his, and his love will never fail us. It will always be there. He is always loving us. Okay? And because of this constancy that we find in God, we can live a life of confidence. And here's what I want you to understand, okay? Because the idea here is that God is so constant and God is so immutable, unchanging, that no matter what we do, he is always the same God. He loves us the same. And we should take great comfort and we should have great confidence that we can build upon God because he is never changing. It's the same. It's never going to change. All right? But if we are truly living it, then we have to take that same idea that we receive from God, the constancy that we receive from God, and the confidence and the peace of mind that we can have, and the ability to know that no matter what I have done, I can go to God and say, I have messed up. He's going to love me. Okay? I still got to deal with consequences and stuff, but he always loves me. He's going to be there for me. The rules never change. He still will show me the grace and mercy and eternal life and salvation that I have always relied upon because he is unchanging. All right? But that needs to still be reflective in our homes and our churches and our relationships. Okay? Is that we are building on constancy. And I will love you. I may not condone you. You know, there are people that I have forgiven. I don't hang out with them anymore or anything like that. Okay, but hatred and all that can eat at you. But inside of our homes, we have to have a relationship. We have to have the understanding that our family, our friends can come to us and with troubles, and we will be there for them. And we will love them. And here is the understanding is that if we don't have that faith in God, then we start to hide things from God. And we start to pigeonhole stuff in our souls and in our minds. And that can be destructive in our relationship with God. And the same thing, if you think you're entering into a place to where you can't be forgiven, or this is wrong and that is wrong, then what you need to understand is people are going to react to that. If you're not a forgiving person, if you show variations in your love, if you strike out at people, don't be surprised when they withhold from you, or they're not completely honest with you, or they don't have the type, you don't have the type of relationship that you should, because there are conditions, all right? And people don't want to meet certain conditions that will pull love away from. Understand? And then Joshua says, "Be strong. Be strong. I have commanded you. Take good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed." There is that process of effort that we are to take that idea, and then we are to pursue that in our lives, and God will bless us. And it says that he is the one who goes before you. He will always be there with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. And that idea comes through in Hebrews 13. It says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That is the God that we worship. So let me close up here. A lot of times in life, we are presented with situations and we are put in situations where, you know, we have to make decisions. And we always, if you're smart, you always reflect back on the teachings and the understandings that you're taught in your house. Okay? You reflect on the relationship with the people that are involved in the situation. And there have been so many times that it's almost as if you're presented with a puzzle. Does anybody like to do puzzles? No, I hate to do puzzles. Okay? I don't have the patience for it. I got ADD, you know, and those 1,000 pieces or 5,000 pieces, my goodness, those people spend years on it, right? No wonder they get them framed and all that. That's why they do it, okay? But anyways, sometimes when we start out, and you ever see the person who just wants to start putting them together, and then you got the person who's like, you have to start with the border. You can't do that. What are you doing? That's madness. So, you know, there's that struggle there. And I was the kind of guy, believe it or not, it's going to shock you, I didn't care about the border. I just started putting it together. And sometimes if they wouldn't fit, I was like, I know that that goes there. I would start pressing and mashing it and all that stuff. Okay? And I would get frustrated. But here's the deal. Sometimes in life, when you're dealing with certain situations, we don't understand everything. We don't have all the inside knowledge. And we're making decisions blindly. So I'm going to point you to a God. I'm going to point you to teachings that know what the final product looks like. Because sometimes I get stubborn and I want to do pieces together that don't fit. And I put them together because I think they fit. I know they fit. I'm going to force them to fit. And I'm looking at God like, why won't you let this fit? And God is looking and saying, it doesn't fit because here's what the finished product looks like. And I'm telling you that because you should have the faith in a God of unconditional love, of immutability, and constancy that is never going to change and has your best interest always and will always have your best interest and will always love you. You can't get stymied when two pieces won't get together and throw your hands up and say, it's not going to work, okay? And I implore upon you to take this principle and put it into your everyday living, into your families, into the teachings that is happening inside your home, and put this inside of your relationships, and you will see the benefit, because that is what we stand on. That is what we stand on. We're here today because God loves us, and he displayed that love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me ask you this. As a salesman, sometimes we just simply ask, why would you not do this? So let me ask you, I'm showing you biblical proof that God will never change. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. So let me simply ask you, why would you wait? Why would you not take this opportunity? And then let me expand that circle a little bit. Let me ask you this. I'm showing you principles, and I'm talking to Aaron P. today. You just get to watch it, okay? Why, when we show you a God and teaching that never fails, never changes, and is always solid as a rock, why would we go to any other well to drink from? Why would we not drink the living water of Jesus Christ and build upon his teaching and his promises? The excuse, we're human, we make mistakes, absolutely. Okay? But at some point, there's too much to risk to not do this. There's too much to risk. Build upon the constant God, the God who will never change.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. If you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road 142 North, El Dorado, Illinois 62930. We now pray that God would bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His word to the world. And as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.